Now, you can open up your Bibles to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and we'll read there, and we'll study this together. Because we have to have faith, and you'll soon see why. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is the confidence. I don't know why I copied the NIV. Put it on the NKJV. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the evidence of the things not seen. Faith is the substance. NIV says confidence. It is the substance of things not seen. Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. It starts here, and now it's going to list a bunch of characters, and it's going to start in the Old Testament. We realize when you read this that faith is central to your walk with God. It didn't just start in the New Testament. It started right in the beginning. It started right in the beginning of Scriptures, and it flows all the way through Scriptures that the central theme of your relationship with God is connected to faith. You are not a better Christian because you have an higher IQ. We have to get that out of the way. Because if God were to connect your spirituality to your IQ, He would be unjust. How can He expect you to be good in your walk with Him and not give you the mental capacity to do so? So faith is disconnected from your IQ. If God was to connect your ability to move mountains to your IQ, half of us would be disqualified. Most of the world, because in spite of what you may think, you're at a higher level than most of the world. If you're sitting in this room, you're already above a certain line of ability and provisions and resources in your life. And if God was to connect your ability to move heaven to your IQ, how would that be called just? So faith is not an IQ thing. Faith is not an intelligence thing. So your faith is not increased by your reading. I'm gonna say it so you can follow me. So you are not more faithful in your walk with God the more books you read. Because the more books you read, you're broadening your understanding of Scripture, possibly if it's a book about Scripture, or you're expanding your base of knowledge, which is good, but that may affect your intelligence or your knowledge base, being the right word would be Gnostic, your knowledge, how you know, but that's not what makes you a better Christian. Faith makes you a better Christian. And we can't equate faith to knowledge. Faith is not knowledge. Because then the Bible would say in Hebrews 11, faith is the knowledge. But it doesn't say that. Faith is the evidence of the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Next verse, he says, for by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony, not by their intelligence, not by their resources. It's not by that which they get access to God. It's not by their royalty and their blood. It's not by their surnames. That's why he tells Timothy, your endless genealogies is a waste of time. You can't trace your roots back to Jerusalem. You're wasting time. He says, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Watch this. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith. He's saying, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith. How do we know it's the word of God? We know it by faith. So when presented with the two theories about creation, creationists, evolutionists, big bang, nothing, mud, then boom, something, that, froggy, then you, versus God spoke. Possibly, I don't care if God spoke and that looked like a big bang. I don't care how that happened. God spoke, it was there, then the universe, and he moves the sun there, he moves the stars there, and he says, life. By faith, we believe that. How do we believe that? By faith. Science wants us to believe it by knowledge. Science wants us to argue knowledge against faith. But science can't reproduce it. Science can't see it. We can just make assumptions about it because that was a few years ago, the Big Bang. And so we believe how God formed the world by faith. So that's the starting point. If you don't believe that, then you'll have a problem believing that God loves you. Because what would it matter if God were to love you if you don't believe that God exists and the reality that you're living in right now? Watch, moving on. God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. There were two brothers, Cain and Abel. Both went to church. And by faith, one offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The one didn't take his offer to a goat in the field and one to God. It's not one completely missed God. Both of them came to the same God. One was with faith and one was without faith. It is possible to be in this room full of Christians and some of you have faith and some of you not. It is possible that God be pleased with some of our worship and not all of our worship. First of all, we confused it. We made worship songs. Worship is the condition of the heart before God, not the songs we sing. Cain and Abel went to church. That's what's written there. One offered more excellent sacrifice than Cain, though he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. Cain's offer still speaks. Well, we're preaching about it. We're teaching you from it. Cain, the way he offered to God, God was so moved by Abel's faith sacrifice entangled with faith that God found it so profound that in 2024, we're still teaching about it. A faith that so moved God, he included it in scripture. Is our faith in 2024 in this ideological culture, this culture wars that we find ourselves in? Do we have a faith that is moving God? Is there a center where God can visit that the faith expressed there will draw his attention? The problem is that most people don't want to do it in community, they want to do it individually. And God deals with communities, not individuals. All individuals is always implanted in communities. David wasn't David by himself, he was David of Israel. And so Cain, his offer was rejected and Abel's offer was rejected. And what was the reason that the one was rejected, the one was accepted? Faith. That's why it's mentioned in Hebrews, faith. Watch this, next one. By faith, Enoch, this is where I want to get to. Enoch was taken away by faith, not who. Enoch, by faith, Enoch was taken away. I don't know how to interpret that. By faith, Enoch was taken away. Was it his faith that took him away? But it doesn't say that. It says that God took him, taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. God had taken him. By faith he was taken, but God took him. By faith he was taken, but God was the one that took him. So he lived a life of such faith that God said, this man won't even see death. That's the kind of faith expressed in his life. But watch this. And it was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. He had this little itty-bitty testimony. It's a little small thing. Not intelligence, because you have professors and you have doctorates and you have engineers and you have dentists and you have school, all can claim some level of intelligence. It wasn't his claim. He had this one thing that you can't buy at a university. There's one thing you can't get at your local grocer. It's this little one thing you can't practice and just get as a skill. It's not a talent. He had this one thing that no one else had, no one else can get. You can't buy it. You get it from God. He had faith. Watch there. He had this one thing. Before he was taken, his testimony, he pleased God. Why did God take him? He pleased God. So it's possible for you to be able to please God. So backtrack. Do you think it's possible? Well, I have to make the assumption that it's possible to not be pleasing unto God. How many of you in this room would like go, yeah, I don't care. I don't have to be pleasing to God. Every single person in this room would want to raise up their hand and say, I want to be pleasing unto God. Enoch had this testimony, this little testimony that he had. He pleased God. Imagine that engraved in your tombstone. Of everything that can be engraved in your tombstone, I would love this. He pleased God. Because of anything that can weigh anything, this one testimony would weigh the most. He pleased God. He pleased God. Some would go like, you'll have a school. You'll have a sexy. And I'll both of my prat. It's a grapje, jelle. It's a grapje. What can you have in your tomb? What can you have written on your tomb? You'll have two dates. And the bed. He was a loving father, no in hell. Most of that lies. Most children write that because they feel sad because they didn't spend enough time with their dads, and now they have to say something like, a loving father. It's honest, don't say any. Gambler. Drug addict. Abuser. Beat my mom. We can't write that. Loving dad. Good husband. You know what I would want on my tombstone? He pleased God. This is the testimony of Enoch. He pleased God. What is this? What does this mean? We're talking about faith. Next verse. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So it's not all the things that we think would please God. It is faith that pleases God. Faith is the foundation of your Christianity. It's where everything begins. It's where everything starts. It's how you do everything. It's by faith that you please God. If you want to please God, don't work on your looks. Because God's not pleased with your looks. He made you. He's not impressed. He's not impressed with your impeccable style. He's not impressed with your hair. Absalom had the best hair in town, and he died because of his own hair. His hair got caught a tree. There he was hanging by his kaif. Een dag cool, volgende dag dood. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He had this testimony. Enoch had this testimony. He pleased God. He pleased God. He pleased God. And how did he please God? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. On everything that you can work with in life, this thing you have to have is the ability to please God. And it doesn't come from anywhere else except through faith. It is by faith that we please God. The question is, how do you make sure that you respond in faith? How does it look when you exercise faith? How does a person of faith carry themselves? What is the result of faith? And I want to tell you right now that if you go through that list of people in Hebrews 11, you'll read about Abraham and you'll read about all these guys who, because of their faith, their stories are captured in the Bible. And their life story is Gideon, who felt like the weakest in his clan. When God spoke to him, his courage came, and he could do the exploits that God had called him to do. We talk about Samson, who was the strongest. We hear about all these great people who do these great exploits. And some would have you believe that when the canon of Scripture closed, that God stopped using people. God stopped using people. Let this church then be a testimony that even this is not normal. That I don't believe that God stopped using people. And this is one center of thousands of places around the world that God is doing miraculous things through that is contrary to the culture of the hour. Yeah. That God can do great things. And I'm preaching this to somehow try and motivate you to say that there must be more to my life than merely surviving on a salary. Faith is never expressed where there is no risk or challenge or not knowing. Where there is no gap, why would you need faith? And so when we started off at the youth ministry, Eventually, they gave us the youth ministry and they said, we'll be the youth leaders. We started off with four people. And here, Chanel and I was in a room with four people. And we grew it to seven and then we shrunk it back to four. And it worked like that, like a small, proper youth group would work nowadays. And that thing was growing and breathing and growing. And then finally, Louis, and we built this thing out, sitting in a thatch roof of a church to where we are now, a couple of thousand people across South Africa. Because we dared believe that God could do this. We dared believe that God could do this. So the question to you is, what? And so what we do with faith, the problem with faith is, we trust God for something, like the guy at the slot machine, pressing the button, asseblief, jara, asseblief, jara, asseblief, jara, asseblief, jara. Gee het vir my, gee my vrou, 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 gee my vrou. Nothing happens and you go like, this faith thing doesn't work. You turn around and walk away. That's not how faith works. Faith is that you begin to mold your life according to the scriptures of God. That if I don't get it yet, and if what I'm asking God is not on my table yet, doesn't mean it's no, it means that maybe I can't receive it yet. That maybe what I'm trusting and leaning into, God wants to do, because why would I be praying it? Why would God lay it on my heart? Why would it be a possibility? But maybe I'm not at the place to receive it yet. And so it's the fault is never on God's side, it's on your side. God is not the one that's being spiteful. God is not the one that's late. It's always you, it's never God. God is perfect, you're the one that's being shaped. You're the clay, he is the potter. And so maybe the delay is not God, it's you. And so faith is the thing that causes me to continue to work at what I need to work. Before Azel met Louis, I'll tell you their story. We had a prophet come over. We were a bunch of young people sitting in the youth ministry, about 20 of us. And we had a guy who's passed away, a well-known prophet in the Pentecostal church group, the denomination, the PPC. This prophet came in, looked at Azel. And now this is not what your youth group leader is supposed to do. Your youth group leader, he is not supposed to tell you, in 2 weeks from now, you'll get a new job. Or, yes, my vrou, this need a nie. So the prophet looks at Azel and he says to her, how long have you gesê gaan jy wag? He said to her, he looks at her straight, she's praying, and I know that she's praying. She's now friends with me and Chanel, and we're in the youth ministry, and she's praying. We know she's praying for her husband. And he looks at her, he says, 18 months, no one, then you'll meet your husband. That's not a nice word. Not a nice word. 18 months later, Louis walks into the church. 18 months later, she meets Louis, meets her husband. Faith is the ability to trust God, because she could have fought that word. She could have spent 18 months pursuing someone else. She could have, faith says that I hold on to what God says. Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight with his prophecies that were spoken over your life. See if you can find that verse and put it up to me. In Timothy, 2 Timothy something. Fight the good fight with his prophecies. Faith is the ability to keep on going on and to pursue God even when the seasons don't look it. But faith is central to our Christianity. You can't remove faith from Christians. It's what we have. It's something that we have that no one else has in the same way, and it works the same thing. Watch this. He says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of you with sober judgment, according with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So each one of you, God has given a measure of faith. Just put your hands up like this. Hold it up. Hold everybody in the room. Even as you quote this. Watch there. Now read it. According to prophecy, not that one, the previous one I was in. You don't have it, Romans. I'll read it to you. Just hold your faith up in the air like that. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one. Say to yourself, I have faith. Might not be much, but I have faith. I don't have an excuse. I have faith. Amen. Each one of you have faith. God gave it to you. You have to work it. What's that verse? It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy. Paddy one. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. It says in Romans 1:74, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This makes us all equal. You've all been given a measure of faith, and the righteous shall live by faith. It's not we shall live by IQ or intelligence or resources or family names or privilege or whatever, or nationality or passport that you hold. You shall live by faith. And so God gives us this ability that we shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Faith in this God that we serve, the faith that he has called us his children. It says in Galatians 3:11, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. It repeats that in another verse, that you shall live by faith. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith, your measure, go like this, hold up your faith again, stretch it. How does it stretch? Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. You can affect your faith. You don't affect your faith by good singing. You don't affect your faith by knowing the right people. You don't affect your faith by being in the right church even. Your faith is affected by hearing the word of God. And you can sit, I've sat in rooms where even the pastor wasn't a great pastor, and the pastor had his own issues, and I left that room more stirred than I was stirred in rooms where there were great pastors. Because it is not determined by the pastor, it's determined by my heart. Can I lean in, take his word, and assimilate it into my life? You can't blame the teacher for not learning in school. You only blame yourself. Are you gonna throw your entire life away because you had a bad teacher? Life's gonna be hard for you, because you'll always find a reason to blame someone else. Amen? It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So the righteous shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and you have been saved through faith. He says in Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith. So the righteous shall live by faith. We walk by faith. We are saved by faith. And our faith increases the more we hear the word of God. Faith accompanies all of your Christianity. Faith. Faith. Matthew 17:20 says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here. It is by faith that we move mountains. We don't want to say to our mountains, move. We want to say to God, God, move our mountains. That's not faith. He says, by faith, you'll say to this mountain, mountain, move. And it will move. But we don't tell our mountains to move. We tell God, please tell our mountains to move. God says, I didn't give you faith so that you can tell me, gave you faith so you can move your mountains. Walk by faith. We live by faith. We are saved by faith. What else do? We speak to our mountains by faith. The issues in your life doesn't go away because you're a victim. It goes away because you have faith. You deal with your issues not by crying and being a victim. You deal with your issues because of faith. You get faith in your walk. The fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Now, can I tell you one more last story and then we'll sing? I got more scriptures. Let me just read them quickly and I'll tell you the story. Remind me of the story. James 2 says, thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. So faith, you walk by faith, you speak to your mountains by faith, faith has works. Peter says that in the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, your faith is more precious than money. If you were to ask most Christians, do you want $1 million or more faith? Most of them would say $1 million. He says, your faith is more precious than gold. Give me faith over money. Because money can't move some mountains. When two sick people, rich and poor, is in a bed dying, what they need is not more money, what they need is faith. And that sickness brings the rich and the poor in equal plane. And the only thing that makes a difference is faith, not money. You can have the professor, the doctor, and the poor person. If the poor person has faith, the rich person is in trouble. Amen. He says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. It's an indictment to God if I don't make it. He gives me the capacity to persevere through the Holy Spirit. If I were to hold on to him by faith, he'll make sure that I finish this journey. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. I look unto Jesus. Whatever arrows the enemy throws my way, by the shield of faith, I raise up a shield of faith and say, by God, all these fiery arrows are quenched in Jesus' name. Listen to me. You have a measure of faith. God wants to increase it. And by that faith, he wants you to live a life that is pleasing unto him. Are you going to waste it in being average? Are you just going to aspire to just be average? Just fit in, have everybody like you, just do nothing with your life? Are you going to take that faith and say, God, what can you do if I surrender to you? Trust God that out of your life, something beautiful will come. At the end of it, it will say, he lived a life that was pleasing unto God.